Song of Solomon's now. Take your Bible, please. Song of Solomon, chapter number 6. Song of Solomon, chapter number 6. This evening, we'll read three verses. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter number 6. We'll read the first three verses this evening responsively. I'll read verse number 1, and you'll read verses 2 and 3 with me this evening. Song of Solomon, chapter number 6, will begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the bed of spices, to feed in the gardens, to gather lilies. I am thy beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies." And let's pray. Holy Father, Lord, we just want to say thank you this evening. Lord, I don't know about everybody else, but I surely have enjoyed being in church today. Lord, I am thankful today that I'm a Christian. Lord, thank you that regardless of what's going on in today's world, that we can unashamedly be what you've called us to be and enjoy doing it. Lord, thank you for the promises of God's word. Lord, everything in our lives that we see because of obedience. Tonight we'll hear another message, Lord, from the word of God, and Holy Spirit will once again, as we always do, but help it not to just be a habit or a ritual, but help it to be something that we genuinely do. And Lord, we seek your face one-on-one during the week, but even here as together, Lord, we need your presence. We ask that you'd show up, that you'd fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power. And as we hear the word of God being taught, may we draw closer to you because of what you do here tonight through the preaching of the word of God. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I said this morning I'm going to preach tonight on the topic of marriage and love. Not many preachers venture into the book of Song of Solomon to preach. I'm not afraid of it. God wrote it. It's fine. But I want to help you tonight. I'm going to mostly talk to those that are married tonight. Those that are not, it's okay. Hang in there. You'll glean something from it. But I'm going to start by a little bit of a testimony per se. I love my sweet wife of 32 years. I don't know about you, but I love being married. My wife and I have had 32 of the most incredible years two people can share. We're not perfect. She is. I'm not. The only mistake she made was me. But we've made a lot of mistakes, but having a great marriage doesn't mean not having mistakes. Having a great marriage means, in spite of mistakes, you still have a good marriage. We're all sinners. And can I tell you something? Getting married doesn't change that. It may increase that. You can have a good marriage and make mistakes. Did you know you can be a good parent and make mistakes? Being a good parent doesn't mean being mistake-free. If that were the case, there's only one good parent, that's God. And if you think of the billions and billions and billions of people that have been on the face of the earth and only one of his children was ever perfect, what chance do you have? I can't tell you how to have a perfect marriage. Say why? You can't. I can tell you how to have a strong and a good marriage. I can tell you how to have a marriage that is strong, loving, sweet, in spite of all the mistakes. I understand I have a different heritage than most. My mom and dad were married just shy of 59 years before my mama went to heaven. My grandma and grandpa Bush, they were married, 66, 67 years, something like that? 68 years. I have three aunts and uncles that have been married over 50 years each, and one over 60 years. I have another set of grandparents that were married 45 years before my grandfather passed away, and my grandmother was a widow for over 30 years after that. My brother's been married pretty close to 40 years. My wife and I, 32 years. We're the babies in the family. I know I have an unusual heritage. I get that. But I think if you'll listen to me, I can help you tonight. The book of the Song of Solomon is about love and marriage. It's not one of those books that you should avoid reading. Here in Song of Solomon 6:1, God uses a statement, and actually it's verse number 3 that I want you to look at. It said, "I am my beloved's, and my beloved's is mine." 30 times in the Bible, the word beloved is used. You realize that over 18 times that is used here in the book of Song of Solomon, just 8 chapters. More than half the times in the entire Bible that that term is used, it's used here in the book of Song of Solomon. Over 30 times you'll see the statement, "my beloved" or "my love," used in these 8 chapters. It's an amazing statement. The truth I want you to see is this. In order to have a good, strong love relationship, whether it be marriage, children, parents, whatever it may be, you must convince the other or give assurance to the other of their ownership of you. Look at verse number 3 again. "I am my beloved's, and my beloved's is mine." When 32 plus years ago I stood before a preacher, and we stood before hundreds of people at my wife's home church in Temperance, Michigan, just above Toledo, Ohio, her little 4'10" pastor, Dr. Les Hobbins, I stood before them. And I promised that she would be mine, and she promised that I would be hers, and vice versa. You see, there's ownership in marriage. My wife is mine. She's nobody else's. And I'm her husband and nobody else's. Nobody else wants me. And I don't want anybody else. But may I say something? No two people need the same amount of assurance. Did you know that my wife might need a different amount of assurance than I need of that? And there are some people who need more assurance of that than others do. Fellas, just because you said it once on your wedding day doesn't mean it lasts forever. Can I tell you something? True love gives the other what the other needs, not just what you think they want. Not what you just have to offer. My job 32 years ago was to say, "I love you and you're mine," but for the last 32 years, I've had to prove it. Everybody doing okay? It's not what I think they need, it's what do they need. It's not just what I have to offer, but what does she need? What does she need to be assured of that? One of the keys in marriage is to assure each other of ownership. She's mine, and I'm hers. I have to convince her that she's mine, and I have to convince her that I'm hers. It's a two-way street. Now, look at Song of Solomon chapter 1. I'm going to just real quickly show you just a couple verses here. I'm not going to go through the entire book of Song of Solomon, but look at verse number 9. "I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses and Pharaoh's chariots." Now, I've never told my wife she's like a bunch of horses. She might tell me I'm like some other animal that's related to that, and I'm not doing that. Look at verse 13. "A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me, and he shall lie betwixt all..." And I've never compared her to a bunch of myrrh, all right? Verse 14, my beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards. Notice it says my beloved. Notice it said my love, my beloved. Look at verse 15. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. I have never told her that either. Look at verse 16. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant also are, and our bed is green. Can I tell you something? Look how many times it's said, my beloved, my love, my beloved, my love. You go through the entire book of the Song of Solomon, and you'll see this over and over and over and over and over and over again. And you see them conversing back with one another. God's giving you this. She's saying this to him, and he says this to her, and it's back and forth and back and forth throughout this whole book this way. Listen to this, fellas and ladies. My job as a husband is far more than earning money to pay bills and buy food. You don't have to be married to earn money and pay bills and buy food. My job as a husband is to assure my wife that she is mine and that I am hers. I'm to convince her that I know I am hers. I'm to convince her that she is mine. By the way, I am not to give my wife just what I have or what I need. I'm to give her what she needs to be convinced of that. It's not a matter, well, if it were me, this is good enough for me. Okay, it may be good enough for you, but it's not good enough for her. Good night. I could live in a cardboard box just outside my office every day. That's not what my wife needs. No, at least during good weather. Can I tell you something? My wife needs much more than what I would need in some ways. There are times that I may need things that she does not need. So we're to convince each other by what the other needs. Boy, that's good stuff. About 34 years ago, I told my wife, I love you for the first time. I remember it clear as day. I could take you to the place. I can't tell you exactly what date on the calendar, but I know roughly what it was. I remember exactly what I said to her. I said, Debbie, today I'm going to tell you something. I love you. But it will take me the rest of my life to prove it to you. That is exactly what I said to her. Say, what did she say back? Nothing. She turned around, walked away, and didn't say a word. And there I stood going, uh-oh. I went to work. That was the longest night of work of my life. You don't know what torture I went through. She called her mother. And her mother, God bless my mother-in-law, she said, well, what did you tell him? She said, I didn't say anything. Deborah Jean! You let that boy go with not telling him anything? You what? And she gave her what for? Thank God for my mother-in-law. I love my mother-in-law. Every day, I remind myself of that day. Every day I remind myself, I told her it would take me a lifetime to prove it. After 32 years of marriage, I've changed it just a little bit. She's heard me say this in recent days. It's going to take me an eternity to prove it. Not just a lifetime. It's something I say to myself daily, sometimes hourly. How can I prove to my wife I love her? That she's mine, that I'm hers. That's what God is talking about here. When I asked her to marry me, I told her, I said, only God knows where we're going to end up. We did not know what the Lord had for us. I said, so if you're willing to follow me no matter where we go, I'd like you to go on the journey with me. Good night. I drove that girl to California, South Carolina, Indiana, back to here. And we've been everywhere in between. And she said yes. Now listen to me. She became mine, but I became hers. Marriage is not a slave trade, though. Don't listen to the liberals that would hear this and use this in a wrong way. Did you know that ownership is not a bad thing?
Right.
I own my dog. Doesn't mean I hate it. I own my car. It doesn't mean I hate it. I own my truck. Doesn't mean I hate it. I own a house. Does that make me a slave trader? Ownership doesn't mean slave trading. It is the ownership of love and the responsibility to only be for one person. That is the important part of marriage. Now, my wife is the most important person in the world to me other than God. I spend more time with my wife than anybody except God. May I say something? Love and the ownership of love means this. You're able to make mistakes and it's not failure. Too many people look at a mistake in marriage or look at a mistake in parenting and say, oh, I've failed. No. Making a mistake is not failure. Failure is not fixing the mistake. You see, it's loving with every fiber, but not expecting that in return. You know, I don't expect my wife to love me the way I love her. Number one, I'm not a woman. It's unfair for me to say this is what I want. Love satisfies in giving, not getting. If you are loving somebody to get something back, you're not loving, you're lusting. I'm not afraid to say that. I'm not expecting my wife to respond the way I think I want her to respond. If I do something for her and she doesn't respond the way I planned, guess what? It doesn't mean she doesn't love me. I had an expectation that I should not have had. It's making sure she knows I love her, whether she responded the way I thought she would or not. I've had some wonderful plans. Told them to her and she just kind of looked at me. I thought they were wonderful. When I saw the reaction, it may not have been so wonderful. Have y'all ever done anything like that? Uh-huh. Don't confess your sins to me, all right? You know, she's mine whether she responds the way I want or not. Whether she reacts the way I thought she would or not. It doesn't change the fact she's mine and I'm hers. Let's look at this thing of ownership a little bit differently in marriage tonight. Number one, throughout the book of Song of Solomon, this lady in the book of Song of Solomon reminds her husband that she belongs to him. Look at verse number 3 again. I am my beloved's. She let him know that she was his. Ladies, it's important for a man to know that his wife is his wife. And to assure him of that. At every wedding that I've ever done, and most every wedding that I've ever been a part of, preacher will stand and says, who gives this bride away? Well, you give away something that's yours to someone else. It is a change of ownership. That is exactly what that statement is. When a dad says, I do, or her mother and I do, that's them saying, here she is, and we're turning her over to him. A year ago June, I stood right down there. Brother Dorsey stood right here. And as I walked my daughter down the aisle, and then that little turkey sang a song and had everybody in here crying, and I was trying not to. Once we finally got through that part of things, she's hanging on my arm, and Brother Dorsey said, who gives this bride away? And after those three famous words, are you serious? I said, her mother and I do. Michael stepped down and took her by the arm and she to his, and they walked up, and Brother Dorsey and I switched places, and we began to go through their vows. That day, and for the time they were engaged, there were times I wouldn't answer my daughter's questions. There was a transfer of leadership and ownership going on. There was times I would say, ask Michael about that. But Dad, I said, no, ask Michael about that. He's going to be your husband. You better learn to go to him, not me. Everybody doing all right? Mindy was then to turn to Michael for ownership, not Daddy and Mommy. To this day, there are things I won't answer to my daughter. It's not mine to answer her. Now, if Michael calls me and says, Dad, what about? I'll answer it. Say, why? Because he's trying to get the skinny on how to get this thing done right. But there's times I'll say, go ask Michael. Well, I said, yeah, then do what he says. But Dad, he doesn't do it like you did. I said, he's not me, and he doesn't have the experience I have. I said, I've been married 32 years. He hadn't been married 30 days. Don't ask me, ask him. She got frustrated with that for the first few months they were married. Trust me. There's a couple times we had a heart-to-heart one day. She called me and she said, Daddy, don't you love me anymore? I said, I love you enough to give you away. I said, I love you and I love Michael enough that I'm not going to meddle and you're going to go to him. You have to work through this. I'm not, but I'll be your daddy, but your daddy's telling you, you're a wife now, not just my daughter. And all of a sudden it clicked. Dink. I had to not help at times because I had given that responsibility to her husband. When I stood there and before God and everybody said, I give her away, I had to give her away. If you sell your car to somebody and 6 months later they come back and they want you to fix it, that doesn't make sense. They bought it. It's theirs, right? Guess what? He bought it. It's his. Not my job to fix it or pay for it. Say, but that's your daughter. It's his wife. Everybody doing okay? Now, my wife's job was to convince me I'm hers. My job is to convince her she's mine. In the wedding vows, you before God make a statement, have made or will make the following. Will you have this woman or this man to be your lawfully wedded wife or husband, depending on which they are? And by the way, there's no confusion when I do it. Will you love her, honor and keep her, in sickness and in health, in poverty and wealth, forsaking all others, keep thee only unto her so long as you both shall live? Do you so promise? Do you remember making a vow like that? Sounds like ownership to me, doesn't it? And she did the same for me. So this means I am to assure my wife of this. That means when she's sick, not feeling well, I'm to assure her she's mine. When I'm sick, got a kidney stone and crying like a baby, she's to assure me I'm hers. And we know, men, we're a bunch of babies. We can't take it. Now, wait a minute. She's to assure me I'm hers. I'm to assure her she is mine. Can I tell you something? You want to have a strong marriage? Live every day convincing each other of ownership. You'll have a good marriage, I promise you. Number two, they told others that they belonged to each other. Go to chapter 6, verse number 1. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside that we may seek him with thee? She's talking to some of her friends and she said, hey, they look at her and say, hey, where's your husband? We want to find out who this dude is. If he's so good, we want to meet him. She said, he's mine, he's not yours. But she was, they wanted to find out who he really was because of how she talked about him. Can I tell you something? You ought to talk about each other when you're not in each other's presence, like at work. Amen. You men, talk about how wonderful your wife is at work, and the women won't hit on you and won't flirt with you at work. Amen. Ladies, if you talk about how wonderful your husband is at work, the guys aren't going to hit on you. Everybody doing okay? I'm not looking at a couple of you right now. There's so many things that should not be said right there. You wouldn't have troubles with your neighbors wonder and things if you talked about how wonderful each other are to in the presence of your neighbors. Amen. Now, I've got good neighbors. Well, most of them, except the one that lives right next door to me. right, Marcia? I mean, I do. I love my neighborhood. I've got good neighbors. I don't know how everybody in the neighborhood knows that I'm the pastor, but everybody in the neighborhood knows I'm the pastor. It's either Marcia or Richard, and I'm not sure which. But I mean, everybody knows. I think it's on Facebook. I don't know because I'm not on there. But guess what? I was out the other day mowing, and this guy stopped by, and he said, "Aren't you the pastor?" I said, "I am." He said, "How long have you and your wife been married?" I told him 32 years. He said, "I thought y'all were newlyweds." I said, "Why you say that?" He said, "Well, every time I see you, y'all are holding hands and stuff." I said, "I'm just enjoying being married." He said, "I should have talked to you a long time ago." I didn't ask him any more questions, all right? Can I tell you something? They told everybody they met. I figured I got married 32 years ago, might as well enjoy it. And I do. The more you tell others, the less likely you are to have problems. I've traveled some. I've been around some. I've preached in 30, I think, three different states. My wife hasn't traveled with me everywhere I've gone. There's only been one time in my entire ministry I had somebody, I'll use the word proposition, that's probably too strong of a term. I was walking into my hotel room, and this female, I wouldn't call her a lady, kind of said, "Hey, are you lonely? You could come here." And I said, "Sure, let me go call my wife first and see what she has to say." And the door shut very quickly. Say, "What'd you do?" I went in and called my wife and told her how much I loved her. She didn't even know it had happened. That's the only time in all these years, and I shut it down in a hurry. You know, when I would travel, I'd take pictures of my wife with me. That's before cell phones, and you had them on your cell phone. Can I tell you something? The more you tell others, the more likely you're to believe it yourself. Some of you wonder if you really love somebody, it's because you never tell anybody you do. Let me ask you a question. You say you love God, how many people have you told about him? When you start telling people how much you love God, they scatter. It's great. You want to find a seat somewhere, just start talking about Jesus or God, man. Man, they separate. Pull your Bible out and watch everybody leave. There's occasionally a lady that'll come to church and her husband won't ever go to church. Doesn't like the preacher, doesn't like the church. They'll sometimes come to me for counsel, and I always tell them this. They say, "Well, I just can't get my husband to come to church, and he's actually sometimes angry that I'm in church because he thinks maybe there's something between you and me because I'm always talking about church and the preacher." And I'll say something to her like this: "Go home and criticize me to your husband." "You say that, preacher?" "Yeah. I'll get him on my side that way. Go home and tell him, that preacher, he preached too long or too loud. I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he said this." I said, "Say something negative about me once. It might bring him my direction a little bit. He won't feel as threatened, and he might say, so he's not perfect, huh?" "No, he's not." But every once in a while, I'll give them the advice to say something negative about me to their spouse so that there's not an impropriety there. Everybody doing okay? I'm going to make a statement here. Those of you that... time to wake up one. sorry, pizza time. Those of you that are younger married and those of you that have children that have recently been married, God tells us in the Bible that when you get married, you leave and cleave. That means mommy and daddy need to keep their hands off of the kids' marriage. You could be the world's best mother and the world's worst mother-in-law all wrapped up in one. You could be the world's greatest dad and the world's great worst father-in-law all wrapped in one if you're not careful. Everybody doing all right? Every once in a while, you might have to go to fellas, to your mama, and say, Mom, keep your nose out of my marriage and quit trying to stick your nose into my wife's business. Well, she doesn't do this the way I do for you. She's not you. Don't worry about it. I didn't marry you. I married her. Now, that might hurt. Ladies, don't take offense when your son does that. If he needs to, that means you got your nose bent out of shape because it was stuck in the wrong spot. Every once in a while, fellas, your daughter might have to tell you, back off. You say, well, I'm always going to be her dad. Yeah, but husband supersedes dad. Let your father-in-law step in on top of you and see what you do. So before you get too upset with the toe-headed idiot, realize she married him. That's hers. Amen? I'll promise you, I'm probably guilty of not stepping in enough. You say, why? Leave and cleave. She's to leave me, cleave to her husband. He was to leave us and cleave to her. And thank God for it. That leads me to point number three. I love you. Here it comes. You ready? Children don't belong to parents when they're grown. Right. Right. Say that again. Ownership changes at adulthood. God gives you children on loan so that one day they become somebody else's. He was mine for about 18 years, but when he became hers, ownership changed. I don't own him. He's not mine. Now, I'm still dad? Yep. But that doesn't mean my role as dad is the same as it was when he lived in my house. Parents need to realize as their children become adults and as their children get married, ownership changes. Everybody doing okay? Your children are not your own. You don't need to be guilty and support them when they're grown. You're supposed to. I remember the day I left home for college. I came back between my freshman and sophomore year, and then I didn't go back home to live. I remember what my dad said when I was getting ready to get married. He said, son, I'm for it, but just remember, you're never moving back home. He said, I didn't rear you to stay, I reared you to leave. I remember coming back home from college the first time, and things were different. And a couple days into it, my dad said, what's the matter? I said, I don't know. He said, things different? I said, yeah. He said, good. That means you're getting it. I said, what am I getting? He said, I didn't rear you to stay. I reared you to leave. You know, I had a curfew till the day I got married. I had to be home at a certain time. I had a college degree. I'd been living on my own for 3 years. Guess what? I still had a curfew. I remember getting home 10 minutes before my curfew the night before we got married. Walking over to the room, and my dad and mom's room is catty corner across the hall, and I heard this, hey, my foot was halfway into the threshold of the door. I said, sir. He said, just want to make sure you're still listening. But ownership changed the next day. Can I tell you something? Your children are not yours once they grow up. I'm going to make a statement here. This is really going to make some of you mad. Your children don't own you either.
Amen.
Don't be a slave to your children. It is. You'd be surprised how many parents in this room, you have hurt your own marriage and your own financial standing because you've been a slave to your own children. You don't need to feel guilty and support your kids. They need to learn to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps.
Amen.
Grandkids are not supposed to be used as a ransom.
Amen.
But even if they are, your wife supersedes your grandkids.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Your spouse supersedes your grandchildren.
Yes.
You don't own your grandchildren. You're to own each other as husband and wife. Say, well, preacher, that's easy for you to say. No, it's not necessarily easy, but that's how you have to live. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun tonight. When your children do right or wrong, when they're grown, it's not your credit or your detriment. It's theirs. Quit beating yourself up if your kids did wrong when they're grown. Not your fault. Well, it's always the parents' fault. That's liberal view. That's blaming somebody else. A 25-year-old knows better. Whether their mommy and daddy taught them or not, they know better. Everybody doing all right? I'm having too much fun tonight. By the way, don't support your grown children's bad habits. Well, I don't buy their drugs, but I'll pay their rent. Yeah, you pay their rent so that they can buy drugs. Bad idea. Man, I'm having... How about you oblige yourself to your wife or your husband instead of your kids and your grandkids? I love Josh and Ruth Ann. They know I'll do anything for them. But if I have to choose between them and my wife, I don't have to choose. The decision was made 32 years ago. I don't have to choose. My choice was made when I said, I do. Their choice was made when they said, I do. I'm spoiled. I got to take part in their wedding. I got to marry my daughter and my son-in-law. My other son... Only Jesus knows if he'll ever get married. And that's his problem, not mine. It doesn't matter. Can I tell you something? It's none of my business. Everybody doing all right? Dad and I were, a couple of us were out here talking before church. Worst thing in the world for you to walk up and say, okay, when are you having grandkids for us? That's none of your business. Shut up. That's between them, not between you and them.
Amen.
Well, I want... Okay, quit being so selfish. Who cares what you want? Everybody doing all right? I'm glad I can be friends with Ruth Ann's mom and dad. They're some of my best friends. Paul and Cindy Provost, I'm close to Ruth Ann's dad. I probably talk to him as much or more than she does. She'll tell you that. She'll ask me what's going on with her dad from time to time. I'm glad Nathan is my friend, and Sarah was until she went to heaven. We were like brother and sister. Ruth Ann, I think your dad and I have seen each other 3 different times ever. And yet we're as close as brothers. How's that work? Well, for 20-some years, I prayed for God to give my son the right woman to marry. Then when I found out who it was, I finally met the family we had been praying for over 20 years. I'd been close to him and didn't even know it. Now I know who it is. Now I get to be close to him. We don't argue and fuss over it. When they moved here, I promised her anytime she needed to go home, I would make sure she had a way to get back to Florida. And I mean that. By the way, when I hired him, I told her, you're not hired staff here, you're his wife. Enjoy it. Just like my wife's not my assistant pastor. When you come to me for counsel, my wife doesn't hear what your problem is. I don't tell her. You say, you hiding it from her? Yeah, she's my wife. She's not my assistant pastor, and she's not the pastor of this church. She doesn't need to know all the negative. She's there to keep me encouraged as I help you. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Boy, I'm having fun tonight. If we would understand the ownership in marriage, the ownership in love. I am my beloved's. My beloved's is mine. Well, who is this guy? We want to meet him. Can't. He's mine. Ha. She's mine. Telling others. Telling everybody. And realizing your children are not yours. They're only on loan to you. Remember the story I said this morning about when my son was near death and on life support for 3 weeks? We knelt at a chair in a waiting room down the hall, third floor at St. Mary's Hospital in Long Beach, California. And we said, God, he was yours before he was ours. If you want him that badly, you can have him, but we'd sure like a shot at rearing him. I didn't know if he was going to be the next Jack the Ripper or Jack Hiles. And at times, he may have been both. I don't know. But thank God we didn't give up. Can I tell you something? I never forgot that statement, God, he was yours before he was ours. But I remember the day when they got married, July 19th. Whew, got the right date. Whew. I know it was 7 years ago. that much I do know. I remember that day, and that was the day ownership changed for good. Wasn't my job to step in. Now, if they ask for advice, I'll give it. But it's not my job to offer it. Not my job to tell them what they're doing wrong. They've just done some painting at their house. Of course, they don't consult me on what the colors are because I'm colorblind. You say, well, doesn't that offend you? No, I don't care what color they paint it. It's not my house, it's theirs. I can ooh and all about it. May not be what I paint mine, but that doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It's what they wanted. I'm happy for them. Too many of you would offer an opinion. Well, that's not the way I would do it, so not yours. It's theirs. Be happy for them having it their way. Everybody doing all right? And by the way, I do like the paint. I have to ask them what colors they are, but there's no. I hate coloring with kids, and crayons with no paper is not good for this preacher. All right, if you want me to color with your kids, give me crayons that have the name of the color on there. It's too hard trying to pick out. Well, preacher, why'd you do it that color? Because I didn't know it was that color. Got a 4-year-old saying that's not right. Shut up. To have a strong marriage, we need to understand ownership in marriage. I own her, she owns me. But I don't own him. He was on loan for a while. I don't own her. She's his. Everybody doing all right? It's a fun way to live, let me tell you. I say, well, you got an empty nest. Yeah, and I moved houses and they don't have keys. It's great. They got to knock on the door before they come in. Wait a minute. To have a good relationship with your adult children, you need to understand you don't own them anymore. You want to get close to your adult children? Give up ownership. How about you convince God you're his? He'll convince you you're his. Matter of fact, he'll say, I'll make you a joint heir with Jesus. He's done everything to convince us we are his. How much convincing are you doing to him that you are his? You want to have a good love relationship? Convince each other of the ownership in love. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. An important truth, I promise you. Probably more practical than you really, really understand.